wait a minute, turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. He talking Scott
Catone. Welcome to the Startup Showcase Junior Edition. We got the end of the year show. Super excited. I'm Scott Catone. Obviously, I'm your host. But today is a special day. I've got a co-host. My baby daughter Vivian is joining me. And she is, I think she's a natural already. Let's see if she has anything to say. She says hi to everybody. Today's show is going to be kind of fun. Not only am I going to be juggling a child and playing Super Dad today, but also we're going to talk about some of the market recap stuff from 2019. I'm not a huge fan of doing the 2019 year and, you know, Europe wrap up. But I thought there was a couple things that were sort of notable and a transition that I think to me signals some big changes going forward. Not just 2020 and investing in startups and sort of the VC community, but actually in the actual markets and what to expect. So I think we're going to jump into that a little bit after a quick commercial. And then, of course, the Startup Showcase edition of the show today is going to be a good one. We've got, I think, some pretty high-tech stuff. I mean, we've got one company called You Can Event, which I think for those of you who have listened to Technori over the years, you know that Technori kind of started as an event. So it's a space that I know well. I got out of it for a reason, so we'll figure out what that means. But in general, I think I'm interested to see why this company seems to be growing so quickly, because it's a San Francisco-based company. They've done 10,000 event services already. And so it's just sort of an amazing, transformation, a way to figure out how to make events a monetizable thing and not just marketing. So that's that. And then, Delee, which I'm probably not pronouncing this right, Delee Corp, is doing something with mechanical engineering and tools for hospitals, which I think everyone understands that there's got to be some changes in healthcare. And sometimes we sort of get focused in on just the dollars and cents, but a lot of it actually has to do with the tools themselves and how we use them. So we're going to learn a little bit about that. But after this, we will definitely come back and talk a little bit more about the markets, what you saw in 2019 and what you can expect in 2020. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catone. My co-host today is little Vivian Rose Catone. She is here. And I guess the question here is, we're talking about markets. We're talking about a little recap. Ashley, I'd love to have you join in on this. Are you investing anything? Do you take anything from this show?
I do take a lot from this show, actually. My parents have invested a lot of money for me when I was growing up,
Yep. So
I do have stuff building up. I just don't know much about it. So this show has really helped me learn it from not my parents' perspective,
Yeah. Because
obviously...
So that's an interesting... So because not just because I'm holding a small child in my arms as I do this show, I think it's worth noting that, one, obviously being in this space, and Vivi's talking to the mic, she wants you to hear her. she's so cute. Being a parent now, I think back on investing and what would I have done if I were my parents, and the amount of money that they've saved and that they have and they've provided me over the years is obviously amazing. But the challenge for me is I'm in this space. I invest, I look at companies, what would I recommend this screeching little Vivi girl who's in the background to do with her money? And I have the opportunity now as a parent of a 6-month-old child to make that choice. And so thank you to both of her grandparents for putting up $1,000 each this year for Christmas to put away for her. So now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, what would I want to invest in? What would you want to invest in? And a lot of times parents look at and of course, there's been a lot of changes, right? When your parents started investing for you, they didn't have Robinhood apps and things for you to invest in fractional shares. It was always, put it in a Vanguard or whatever, and that's it. But now we have the option of investing in my phone. I can put my money anywhere, right? Including Bitcoin, which maybe now is a good time to buy since it's down low. What do you think, Vivi? Yeah, I think so.
Speechless.
She's stunned. So I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, if I could make a choice, what would I put my money in? And I have to look at companies that are startup-y tech companies that have a huge application across a myriad of things. People have been poo-poo on Uber because of the valuation when they came out. But if you look at all the industries and things that they're in, and that's one of the companies to look at for 2020, but there's just so much potential. Tesla, I remember being on this show in the beginning of 2019 talking about how I thought Tesla was going to be just a massive year. And I think at the time they were trading at $260, $280 a share. Obviously, they were at $430 yesterday. But during the year, they dropped down to $176 a share, and everyone's going, oh, Tesla's done, it's garbage, blah, blah, blah. They're at almost three times what they traded at their low this year. that is a company that has so many things, whether it's batteries they're involved in, which is going to be, you know, IP that they can sell to other car makers. They've got different cars. They've got trucks. They've got auto drive as a thing. They've got the whole charging network. They've got the, you know, the roof solar panels, which has been a flop up until now, but maybe there's hope. Those are the kind of companies I want to look at. I want to look at companies that have a way to make revenue in multiple ways. And so when I look forward for little Vivi here, where's your $2,000 you got for Christmas going to go? And that $2,000 to me is going to be spread in things that I think are safe investments so that the money isn't just gone, but also are investable in a way where she's got 20 years for it to grow, right? So we can take high risks. And I mean, people know this. They invest their money in companies that have, you know, high risk potential because they know they've got 20 or 30 years of investing to go, right? But for me and for you, we're a little bit... We have to come in with like actual revenue income now. We need real money to live. Whereas little Vivi girl, she's pretty much set with mom and dad. So when I'm looking at the 2019 year that was, I look at companies that I think are interesting. And the first one was, obviously I mentioned Tesla. Snapchat had gotten as low as $7. And I'm looking at Snap, now it's at $15.35 or something. And I'm looking like, why do you think Snapchat has potential? And I'll bring you back in, Ashley, in this because you are a person who probably uses Snapchat. What do you notice as a difference about Snapchat versus Instagram?
There are a lot more ads, a lot more interactive areas in Snapchat with all the stories. You can subscribe to different, not magazines, but different news outlets. It's very news updated.
So like I look at Instagram and I look at Snapchat. Are you a big Snap user still or no?
Yes, I still use it.
What are like the main use cases of you for Snap? Like is it chatting back and forth with friends directly? Is it group chats? What's the main use case?
It's a lot of group chats now. When streaks were a huge thing and that's what everyone was obsessed over, I used to do the streaks. And once they all just died off, we just started making group Snapchats because it was easier to communicate via Snapchat rather than text message, which is interesting because you would think that since text messages come right to your phone instead of going to an app, you would see that faster, but we all saw Snapchat faster because they were pictures and questions and pictures, videos.
So then on Instagram... Are you clicking story? More people are posting stories on Instagram than they are on Snapchat, which is funny because Instagram ripped that off and stole it from Snapchat. But like, would you say you scroll the feed kind of like a modern Facebook on Instagram?
Yeah.
And then the communications are like, yeah, if a friend, you know, likes or comments on a story that I post, all right, fine, I'll communicate. But I'm not going to go to my Instagram DM to like communicate with people.
Yeah.
Versus Snapchat where like that's what I mean, that's literally all I do with it.
Exactly. Like with the Instagram, it's more just catching up pictures.
Yep.
I look at a lot of stories.
It's Facebook 2.0.
Right. It's a more hip Facebook, I guess.
Well, yeah. Facebook is, the listenership on this show probably is like, Facebook's the best. That's their thing.
My mom.
My mom and dad are like, well, my mom smartly is not even on it, but my dad is probably scrolling on it literally as we talk. The reason I run you through and the audience through this conversation is that one of the most interesting observations of 2019 for me has been the way that people communicate and how it's shifted. And Facebook, when we came into 2019, I was kind of getting away from Facebook a little bit. And I got it. Like younger people were done with it. But it really feels arcane to me now. Like it's like old. And Instagram, I did not like it. I still like Snapchat better, but I get it, right? So I'm scrolling through Instagram. What dawned on me, and this is something I think is interesting for anyone investing, because this is another stock that I kind of had on the to watch, something to talk about in 19. We'll see. I don't know the answer yet for 2020. But in workplaces, and workplaces include schools, it includes all kinds of any place that's institutionalized and has rules and you spend a large amount of your time there, you still want to communicate with your friends, whether they're in the institution. Sounds like it's prison. Kind of sometimes it feels like work is prison. Whether you're in the institution or they're outside of the walls, you still want to communicate with them. What I've noticed is people who started using Slack internally at their business or Microsoft Teams started to take a tone for how they would communicate. And it's like the exact opposite of what normally happens. Where like you're doing something really like consumer friendly outside and then you bring it to work and you start using it there and people are like, oh, what's that? And next thing you know, you're all on TikTok. But what's interesting about it is it went the opposite way. All the people who are used to communicating via text and sort of like what I would call, it's like a, man, what's the right word here? It's like a decentralized sort of like you would fling. We all have them. We all have the friends who are like the long texters. They write like 80 sentence long paragraph. You're like, whoa, what the heck? And then you also have the friends who like ping, 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 ping. They cut it down to like words. They write a whole paragraph in like 12 texts in words. And you're like, what? Dude, can't you just like write in a sentence? Like, what is going on? That is what used to be our communication outside of work. Now at work, people have to be succinct. They got to be quick. They got to have attachments. They got to be able to visualize what they're trying to say quickly. And I think that it's taken off. And I know it's part of it is in schools and education, a lot of classes are running entire classes on channels on Slack. And so they've gotten this habit of group communication, being succinct, writing everything in one shot, one bubble, and then an attachment, and then using emojis in a way that actually makes sense, or if not, a GIF or any other sort of attachment. That has taken off outside of institution. It's in our normal world now. That's how you communicate with your friends. You go on, why would I tell all 9 friends when I could just group on Snap and hit them all?
Right.
And then if I don't want to talk to them anymore, I just mute it.
Exactly.
And you come back, and like, it makes sense, right? So what I observed and why I bet on Snapchat at $7 when I first saw the people on Teams doing this was I recognized that the future communication is not, I mean, even my wife, she scrolls on the feed on Instagram so quickly she couldn't possibly digest anything, right? People want to have a communication tool that isn't wonky like Messenger or like, and they're all fine, but they're not designed for how we communicate today, whereas Snapchat is perfectly designed, and so is Slack and Teams and the rest of them. They're perfectly designed to centralize all of our information. It's our pictures, our videos. In fact, we can shoot it right there and edit it right there in the message and send it out to everyone. We could share it with the world. We could share it with just one person. We can make it private to ourselves. You can do all of that inside of one message blip, right? And that to me is like, oh my God. That literally is the connective tissue that we're all going to be talking through in for the next at least few years until we don't talk. We just literally do videos or whatever. I don't even know what we're going to do. TikTok is weird. But I think that that's a huge piece. And so Snapchat and any other communication devices and things, when you're looking for 2020, you look at 2019, I think the story was we made a transition. Tesla's one of those too. We're transitioning towards a different kind of energy use. Like people are okay with it. I just talked to a guy in the garage today who parked his Tesla to charge next to me. And we just, I don't know this dude from Adam. We just started a conversation for like 10 minutes over like just our experience since August, him in the last month, because it's new. And it's like, I never would have been an electric car driver. Now I am. And I can't wait to tell you about it. And that's sort of like the way we're moving now. And it's the same with all these. So if you look at companies to invest in and what did well, it's the ones that were around, were proven, had established a base, and then were able to start converting on this, which goes back to the many rants of this show about growth versus revenue. You have to have a strike a nice balance. Now, if you want to look at the companies that didn't do well, it's the ones that didn't quite, they haven't spent enough on growth yet, or their revenue numbers aren't where the market wants it, but the company doesn't make sense to everyone yet. Like if you're a person who's going to invest in Uber or Lyft, you understand Uber and Lyft as the rideshare company, but they're so much more. They're a gig economy company. There's the autonomous driving, which is a whole other thing. That's something that will be a huge game changer for their margins in the future. But right now, Uber Works, Uber Freight, there's so many things. And if you're an investor, and like a retail investor, you all listening out there, if you don't understand the complexity of the business, it's very hard to provide a real value to it. And so the companies that did very poorly post-IPO this year, and you can go into a ton of companies, but the ones that post-IPO did very poorly is Slack. I don't understand what it is. Like, why? What is the point here? And you don't realize how many different applications it has because you haven't used it. Uber and Lyft, you looked at it singularly. I think we looked at a couple. Peloton had like a little bit of a bounce because of the stupid ad, which is the fact that people got pissed is stupid. But the whole thing, Peloton is a company that has so much more, but people just see the bike. And so I think what we're going to see in 2020, as opposed to what we just saw in 2019, is that as long as those companies that are transformative, they're disruptive in a way that we like literally never do the same thing the same way again, if the majority of people now view those companies that way and actually try it and it works, you're going to see massive growth. I think the companies that can go through the roof on the business side is obviously like Salesforce. I mean, I don't know how much higher Tesla can go right now. I think they could literally trade at $1,000 plus a share by the time all is said and done. They're up 4,000% since their IPO. 4,000. Snapchat, I think, is a $20 plus dollar a share company. There's a lot of things out there, and the future being 2020 is going to be very similar to 2019, except there probably will be a little bit of a dip in recession. But the tech companies aren't going anywhere because we're so ingrained in them. We're stuck in using them. They're not going anywhere. So I think the big lessons and look backs for me, and it should be the same for you, is to look back at any of the companies that you've invested in this year. Even if it's your portfolio that your investor invested in, you should look at them and just take a look and see over the last year, not just the percentage up, but like literally how many of them have done extraordinarily well in growth numbers and in their revenues and in the stock share price. And how many of them are companies that you use or notice in a regular day? Because the days of like all these random companies you've never heard of, it's not going to be that way because we're such a brand-centric people now and we share everything. So that's my two cents on that. I think we got to take a quick break, go to the news and such. And then I can't wait to come back here with the Startup Showcase. I'm going to ask Vivi on the show exactly who she would invest in. So right now, the investment dollars in my pocket are going to go to one of these two great companies as the result of the decision of a six-month-old. So that's where we are these days. So I'll be right back to the Startup Showcase on WGN Radio. In the background, you may or may not have heard my co-host, Vivi. She's going to do the introduction here, aren't you, Vivi? That's six-month-old talk. It's time for that Startup Showcase. Let's see who's in the elevator. Welcome to the Startup Showcase. Who do we got? You there, Lisa?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, go ahead. Give the pitch.
Okay. I'm Lisa. I'm the co-founder of Dealy. As you know, cancer is still the second leading cause of death worldwide. And that's because, first, cancer is detected late. And second, once it's detected, it's so difficult to monitor if the treatment that is being applied to patients still keep working on them until it's too late. For that, we created a blood testing device for early cancer detection and monitoring the treatment. And the way that we do that is we isolate and analyze the cancer cells in blood.
All right, very cool. Well, obviously, it's a very important piece of the puzzle here. I have to say, you guys have had a pretty good start to the business. I mean, you're a graduate of Y Combinator, which, for those listening who are unaware, that is the preeminent incubator, I would say, in the world, but definitely in this country and based in San Francisco. The blood testing device that isolates and analyzes circulating tumor cells. I want to know more about that and why you got into it. But first, let's get into the numbers real quick. 1.4 million dollars in pre-sales. You guys have raised about 1.3 in total funding so far. You've got about 31,000 raised from about 200 investors on Republic. If you want to invest in this company along with us, just go to republic.co/DELEE and you can follow along and check out the term sheet. Just register to invest. You can invest for as little as it looks like $50 with a $10 million value cap. By 2023, you guys have a market expectation valuation of about $28 billion that you can get a piece of. This is one of those companies that I think has obviously immense potential. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole Theranos thing, but like that was one of the reasons that company was able to raise so much money and get traction so quickly was that this is something people want. They want a better way to live. They want a better, healthier way to live. They want a better, easier way to test and screen for things that they're afraid of. And so I think that speaks to this, but what got you into this business? What is the caveat for why this business for you guys?
Yeah, basically all the three founders have lost families because of cancer. And we saw in the first hand how first is difficult for cancer to be detected earlier. Most cancer don't have symptoms, and once cancer is diagnosed, there is no way for doctors to know if the treatment they are applying to the patients keep working because cancer is a disease that changes. And treatments are way too expensive for most people to afford it. So imagine you get the money to pay for the treatment, and then you wait 6 months to 12 months, and the doctor told you, like, okay, I'm sorry, this treatment didn't work. We're going to find another way, another line of treatment. And for most patients, they don't have that second opportunity. They die along the way. So we follow studies made at the MD Anderson, and a lot of cancer research being done in Europe and United States. And it is said that if you can capture the cancer cells that the tumor releases into the bloodstream, that is a really good way for you to keep track of the patient and to also do early monitoring. So we decided that if we could help those patients and if we could really give them a chance to fight for cancer, then be it. That's the only thing that was in our mind, that it is in our mind, to help those people to have all the chances that they can so they can be cured in the end.
I think you bring up a really good point there. I mean, I think the thing that a lot of times we forget, and, you know, obviously it's understandable because people are, you know, suffering. These are family members that they're watching, you know, die or suffer alongside of them. And it's very hard to like focus on some of the, I don't know, more obvious parts of it because it's just, your brain's not there during that time. But one of the things that you said that stood out to me is the timeline where we wait and try, we wait and see. We do this, we give you this treatment, you wait, and then, like you said, they unfortunately die along the way. If there were a way to figure out how to do this a little quicker, and a way to be able to tell if we're having progress throughout this entire thing, you know, that would be incredibly helpful.
Yes, it's a life changer.
Yeah, for sure. Well, literally. I mean, it literally is. So on the technology side, what's the background that you have to for your team or other that has gotten you kind of on this journey to build this? Because it's, you know, it's not an easy build, I presume.
No. It's definitely no easy. For us to develop this technology, we require the expertise of people with doctorate and masters in different backgrounds. We're talking about molecular biology, optics, electronics, manufacturing, doctors, oncologists. And right now, our people is completed by 15 most experts in the field, in those fields. And we created the technology in less than 2 years. And we already tested on prostate cancer patients, and we successfully isolate and analyze those cells. And that was great because now the technology is working. And the reason we are right now on Republic is to get the funding that we need in order for us to expand the trials to different types of cancers and to release the technology to the market by 2020.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, I hope you guys are successful with this and have a great future ahead of you, because I think it potentially can be a game changer in the world. I mean, the cancer thing is real, and people all know, and there's not many people out there who don't have a relative or someone they know who's died of cancer. And so this touches everyone. Where do people go and how do they invest in you?
Yes, they can go to our public site, Google our company. It's in the main page. It's Gilly. And they just put the click of invest in Gilly. And you can put any quantity of money up to $50.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, folks, we are going to share that on social. You can follow me at Technori or follow me at Katoon on everything social. I'm going to share a link to this in case you want to check it out. I think it's really interesting, as I kind of mentioned to Lisa, you know, one of the things that we have seen in Chicago in particular, there's a lot of insurance company, tech companies here. We have Matter, which is a healthcare-based incubator, in my opinion, one of the best in the country. And they have been so kind as to invite us in and let me, you know, speak to these people, the students, and they have students as well as faculty, as well as founders, that they let me drone on and help and or at least try to help and mentor. And I've gotten the opportunity to meet with a lot of companies that are working on things like, not necessarily like this, but very similar in the impact of their medical field of choice. So whether that is screening or it's blood testing, or it's prosthetics. There's an insane market there for it. The competition is incredibly steep, but also really, like, I don't know how to describe this. This is super, 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 super talented people trying to fix things like this. But simultaneously, they have to have access to a lot of money, a lot of foundation stuff, a lot of research institution, you know, data. And so it's actually not very easy, and there's not a ton of competition, but the competition that is out there is steep. And so with Lisa and the rest of these companies, I really think like Dali has an opportunity to do something incredible, but they're going to have to move at the pace that is, how do you say this, medical. Like everybody's been in a hospital, you know how slow things can go. You've got to move at that pace to be able to get this right, because I think the one, putting on my investor hat for a second, the one thing that scares me, and it's not about them, it's just that Theranos thing. You know, that it was such a disaster, and there's so many people, I think, that have it kind of stuck in their system that it's hard to ignore. But I think once they get past that, and like she said, they've had a couple of trials already, and they're trying to raise this money to get through trial. If this thing works, like actually works, it's a game changer. And there's a ton of money, and Vivian loves it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and me and the little child here are going to come back and catch one more pitch and decide at the end of the show which one we should throw our money in. So, welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, co-hosted by Vivian Catoon. Vivian, do you have anything to add to this? She's a natural, folks. It's already over. All right. We've got one more pitch coming in. We're going to check and see who's in the elevator. So let's do that right meow. Welcome to the Startup Showcase.
Hello, good morning. This is Antonio speaking. I'm the co-founder and CEO of youcanevent.com. So all of you that are listening, you might found this problem that anytime you want to organize an event for your company or for your community, you never know where to find the venue, caterers, photographers, staffing, furniture needed for your event experience. So youcanevent.com is one-stop shop that aggregates all the event services you need for your next event. We have big companies that are using our online marketplace for their event experiences, such as Microsoft, Deutsche Bank, TomTom, and many more. And the reason why our customers love us, it's because we, when you book through our platform, we offer you an event assistant to help you on site during the event for free. And this person not only helps you, but also takes pictures and makes video footages of your event experience that later are offered to you for community engagement. So imagine you come, you find your venue, you book your catering, you order your furniture, and then you have a person on site to help you and capture remarkable content for community engagement.
Very cool. So just a recap here on the another San Francisco-based company here. On the numbers and what you can do, people can invest in the company at republic.co/youcanevent. And you can check them out there. They've got about 75 investors so far. Value cap of $7.5 million, 20% discount, minimum investment of $100. Seems to have some traction here, tapping into a $300 billion event planning industry, which we'll get into in a second. Almost $700,000 in transactions to date. And 5,000 users in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I want to kind of break this down a little bit, because I come from the event space. I got out of it because it wasn't, you know, it was definitely not my strong suit. We did well with what we had, and I don't know, that's not even saying much, but I do definitely understand the dilemma and the problem of events and the challenges. Very similar to wedding planning, except for usually, well, my bride might disagree with this. There's a lot of angry brides after you when you're doing a corporate event, because these are people who've paid money with an expectation of your delivery. And so it's certainly something that I think it's real, folks. It's very challenging to put on events and then not be able to deliver. And then something invariably always happens and you have to come up and scramble really quickly. So I totally get it. What I want to figure out is the metrics here, because we have a company local here in Chicago called Expo, which is not in the same business as you at all, but does have what I presume to be a similar monetization strategy, in that the monies that are spent on things during the event whether it's using the venues, using the you know, whatever tools and devices and services that you offer through your platform, they take a cut of it. And if they do the math right, they can afford to give you an assistant or put somebody on site, and then they can, you know, make revenue on those people by having them take photos, which they sell back to you. So there's a lot of different, you know, sort of man-made, self-created revenue streams that exist by your, just by the fact that you exist and curate all these things for everybody. That's Expo. You guys are, I'm guessing, kind of similar, right? I mean, you have a platform that helps put everyone together, and then you take your cut.
Exactly. So we make our commission is between 18%. The beauty of our business and our experience is that our customers, they have instant access to the pricing online. So it's like, you know, we also focus on the smaller scale size of event. So 10 to 200 people, you know, like fireside chat events, networking events, social mixers. So we don't do, you know, complex conferences. We don't do trade shows. We just want to be the online marketplace where you can buy either event packages or smaller services, you know, like only catering or only staffing for your event experience.
Totally. So when I was describing Expo before, Chicago company, they are that, but only for the conferences. So they literally only do the setup of conferences and like the large scale events. And they're you know, and these, a lot of these, I think people who are listening might not be aware of this unless you work in certain industries, but there are entire, you know, medical, sales, etc. But now it's growing into SaaS and cloud and all kinds of stuff.
Exactly.
Where everything is event. There are so many conferences that are hosted by just individual companies that this market is insane. I get it. And
85 million events. 85 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, in the United States only.
Yeah, and that doesn't even go across abroad. And I know that you're also in South America, correct?
Originally, I'm from Portugal, Europe, and my co-founder from Brazil, South America. So it's like, eventually, we want to be global.
Of course,
for sure.
And so, what I like about this business, there's a couple things. You've sort of hit on all like the key things, but what I kind of like about this is that you enable everyone to be able to have events of their own, whether it's, you know, small or big. Big being sort of, you know, up to you on what that size means to you. But I think, you know, when we were in the event space, our thing, our barrier was we had an insane venue. We had Chase Auditorium as a venue. And when WeWork came into Chicago and gave away space to everybody, we didn't have a defense barrier. And so then it just became a free-for-all. And what we started recognizing is in order to compete, we had to up our game by having more curation, food, drink, beverage, you know, valet, things, all the extras that people would differentiate and say, oh, this is a premium event. The problem with that is not only does it cost a lot of money to do, as you know, but it costs a lot of money to organize because that's not what I do. So I've got to hire someone.
Exactly.
And that's what you guys do. You eliminate the need for me to have a hired person. You give them an assistant, but you basically say, listen, we'll put all that stuff together for you and make it, you know, turnkey.
Exactly. Well said. I couldn't describe better. And, you know, on top of that, now, because you have experience and, you know, for all the listeners in the show, it's like the beauty of our platform is that then from all the events you organize through the platform, you'll have these pictures and videos of the event experience that later are offered to you on a page that you can share on social media or email marketing or whatever, and also will serve as a portfolio. So, for example, I bet, and I will ask you this question, how many events have you organized in the past?
300.
Okay. How many of those 300 you have pictures in an organized way that you can show me as a portfolio?
Probably, I mean, we took pictures of all of them, but probably 10 that we did organize, we took the effort of hiring a person to do photos.
See? So that's the problem, you know what I'm saying? Like, from all of those 300, you don't have a portfolio, neither content, neither,
nope.
You know,
Instagram,
proof
that's
of what you have then.
That's all we got.
Yeah, but Instagram, it's like, is a lost type of, you know, social network when related to the events industry, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, totally.
Because the events market is huge by itself. So, you know, that's the beauty is kind of like, we help you tell your story. We help you build your community. We help you show what you have done and the customer experience just gets, you know, exceptional.
Well, I mean, I can give the listeners here a testimony. I've mentioned the company several times already here, but the Expo locally, they've raised about $10 million and are pushing $50 million in annual revenue, and they're only into like the third year. So if that doesn't tell you that there's an opportunity in the space, it's 100% on. It's all about how you execute. What are the things that you have to get right for you to be able to meet those valuations that you expect?
So the most important thing is to focus on balancing the average sale and accomplish fast scalability on that average sale. Which average sale means, you know, how much it costs the average booking made on our platform, and then reducing as much as we can the sales cycle of that sale, and you know, scale as fast as we can to the 1,000 bookings per month, and then, you know, that's currently, our average sale is almost 2,000, which will give us almost 2 million GMV per month, gross revenue. So it's like, if we get, and you know, it's very easy to spend $2,000 in an order because, once again, we just focus on the smaller things like catering, you know, the small venue rental, staffing. So it's like, when you think about it, you know, it's just like 200 companies organizing 5 events per month, which, at the current state of the market, it's very easy because, once again, those events can be an office party, a networking event, a fireside chat, a breakfast lunch, you know what I'm saying? So it's easy to push those 5 events per month. So if we accomplish that average on the booking sale and we are able to scale to the 1,000 bookings, then we'll be like, you know, fuel and fast scalability because we can replicate the numbers all over the U.S. and then, you know, eventually get to our final goal in, you know, 7 years will be like 1 million bookings per month.
Yeah, no, I totally see it. I get it. I think you have a tactical advantage in that for the larger events, they have to have a gigantic venue or some sort of highly organized machine, whereas you're arming and enabling the any person, as you put it, you can event. Any person can host an event, and it could be 5 people, it could be 50 people.
Exactly.
And just turn it on. So I totally get it. I think it really helps in the scale, and I hope the best for you. Where do people go to follow and learn more and sign up?
So youcanevent.com. We have everything there online. Also, the republic.co/youcanevent is a good page to understand more about us. And then all the social media, we stand for You Can Event on Instagram, Facebook. People also can reach out directly to me. My name is Antonio Trincao. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, all the social networks, and I'm more than happy to share the grand vision with potential investors or people that want to work with us.
Very cool. Well, best of luck to you, Antonio.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right, folks, we're going to take one more commercial break. I'll come back and share a little social news real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. Like most of you, I presume, my show has lulled my co-host to sleep. There's a beautiful picture of her on Instagram, so follow me at Katoon on Instagram to get some of the backstory and some of the inside scoop. Follow at Technoria on Instagram to see some of the guests and the cool people coming in studio. And follow us everywhere. Go to technoria.com and check out the podcast, check out everything we're doing. That is the show for me.